for America.
It was amazing to see that many marathon runners in church at the same time. I've never seen that many tennis shoes in church ever.
Fighting for Idaho.
The pump price has not been rising for 10 weeks.
The cheapest gas, $3.29 a gallon in Salt Lake City, Utah.
The bottom line in this gasoline price hike of 9 cents is crude oil. Crude oil prices went up almost the same amount.
Fighting for you.
This wasn't an issue about guns on campus. This was an issue about the NRA and the backing for our legislatures for an election season coming up. And who's in support of pro or con gun laws. That's what it was about.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us as we continue on talking about lands not only in Idaho, but in Nevada and Utah, across the country. We're joined by a gentleman that we've heard a lot about, read a lot about. His name is Ken Ivory. He's a state representative of Utah. He's with the American Lands Council. Mr. Ivory, your reputation precedes you.
Well, thank you. That can be good and bad. I guess it can cut both ways.
If you're the BLM, probably not so well. If you're great Western Americans, pretty good. You know, this is fascinating what's going on with the Bundy Ranch, but this isn't the only situation that you have the feds trying to take private folks' land, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's happening all over the West. The frustration, I think Mr. Bundy is personifying the frustration that people are feeling all over the West and, in fact, all over the nation. When you have a government, our federal governing partner from the state level, acting in a purely civil manner in such an absolutely uncivil manner, it really defies the very notion of what the foundations of our government are: protect life, protect liberty, protect property. That's why we formed an organized government. So, yeah, we kind of use the phrase, and in fact, we'd encourage people to use the hashtag if they're on Twitter: bigger than Bundy. This is so much bigger. This is the towns throughout Idaho and Montana and Washington and Oregon that are now boarded up, that used to be some of the best funded school districts in the nation because they had the access to their renewable timber resource, and now they've been turned into fire hazards all around them. You know, this is about areas where the BLM's own resource management plans say there'll only be 300 wild horses, and yet there are thousands that are multiplying every 4 or 5 years, destroying the ecosystem watersheds, the fire risk off the charts, where we've been prevented from harvesting renewable resource, from tending the garden, as you've seen in Idaho, the sheep fire and so many others, burning up millions of animals, destroying the habitat, the watershed, for decades, and there are those that call that environmentalism. So it's time. There are solutions big enough. Kevin, there are the Institute for Energy Research tells us there's more than $150 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars in minerals locked up in the federally controlled lands, more recoverable oil than the rest of the world combined, the Government Accountability Office tells us, and yet failed federal policies have put us in an intense situation of urgency, both economically as well as environmentally.
Ken Ivory joining us here, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the story coming out of Salt Lake City over the weekend that we've covered here, and you're a big part of it, where you have over 50 elected folks from the 9 Mountain West states taking a look at getting their lands back. What was discussed, and if you could, give us the beginnings of this.
Well, let me thank your Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke. He really was the instigator. You know, we've been working on a number of things and legislation, and Speaker Bedke called, I think it was about January. I mean, this was way before any of the Bundy thing bubbled up. He called and said, we really have to get leaders together to start coordinating, collaborating meaningfully on this. And so American Lands Council, we've been kind of the tip of the spear on all of this, and started pulling that together. It was really gratifying, Kevin. We had speakers of the House from a number of the Western states, Senate leadership, from a number of the western states. Idaho was very well, very effectively represented. Speaker Bedke and others, Terry Gestern, Bill Myers, Winder, Bart Davis, I'm going to forget someone there, or there were a number of people from Idaho, and then throughout the West. So the idea is, at this point, the frustration is so apparent that it becomes incumbent upon the representatives of the people to step up and take the constitutional rule of law action that we swore an oath to do under the Constitution of the United States. We in the states and the counties as subdivisions of the state, we swear an oath to uphold the United States Constitution, and we're woefully out of balance. And so it's a matter of these constitutional officers getting together, uniting our power and our energy and our efforts to restore balance to our system in how we protect life and liberty and property so that, Kevin, it's very simple. I mean, we have the power in our communities and in our lands to better protect the land, to provide for our children's education and our sick and poor and roads and public safety from right within our own communities, and to prosper. That was the equation of our Constitution.
Well, one thing that, Mr. Ivory, that I don't understand, where are the governors in all this?
Well, that's a good question for each governor. Now, our governor in Utah has signed my original bill, House Bill 148, the Transfer Public Lands Act, and then we just passed this year another series of bills. We formed a Transfer of Public Lands Caucus in the House and Senate and passed a package of bills that implement and appropriate money to begin preparing legal battles if necessary. I mean, the foundation of this is number one, education. Number two, negotiation. Number three, legislation at the local, state, and national level. And number four, litigation if necessary. And so, you know, you kind of go by their fruits, you shall know them. And so this, Kevin, is, I believe, the issue of this campaign. And so as the sovereign power, the people hold the sovereign governing power, and we delegate that to people that we hire to represent us so that we can go about our business. But we hire these people to represent us. And on something like this, where it is the only solution big enough to fund education, better care for the environment, grow the economy locally and nationally, I would submit that in all these races, this really is and should be a litmus test where resources are locked up and the environment is being destroyed, and the promises at statehood are the same. The promises to extinguish title to these lands, they're the same east of Colorado as they are with Idaho and Utah and all throughout the West. So, yeah, I mean, where we elect people to protect life, liberty, and property and to secure the ability for us to prosper, this is a very critical issue.
Ken Ivory with us from the Americans Lands Council, a state representative in Utah here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. It's funny because I was talking to Tea Party Bob and Steve Ackerman, who've done a lot of work here in the state, and they always talk about the lands, and I'm going, there's no way that the feds are ever going to give up the lands that they've seized. And yet, Mr. Ivory, does the Bundy Ranch situation spell a tipping point where people have said enough is enough, and you could awaken the Western public to get the lands back?
Well, I think that's the important part of the Bundy situation. It has awakened the nation to the untenable situations on public land. You've got a federal government that, again, in a very purely civil matter, comes out in such an abusive, uncivil manner to collect fines. I mean, it's just unheard of, and that flies in the face of all the notions that we hold dear as to what is the governing power that we've delegated. And so, but kind of back to your original point on that, Kevin, this has already been done before. You know, when you look back in your history, the public lands history, you find that Illinois and Indiana and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and of course, Kevin, you know that great western state of Florida? They were as much as 90% federally controlled for decades. And they would send resolutions and delegations to Washington, and in their documents, and we have them on the website, they're available, in their documents they would say, we can't educate our kids. You're not disposing of our land like you promised. We can't grow our economy. You're not keeping your statehood promise. You're hoarding all of our resources. You're not keeping your promise. We never bargained for this. And, Kevin, they banded together. It was one guy. It was one Democratic senator from Missouri. His name is Thomas Hart Benton. And he got elected to the Senate, and he said, my election found me doing battle for changing this system of disposing of the public lands. And he ran a bill every year in Congress, but he said it was more so the speeches that he gave. He was educating his colleagues in Congress, and then he went out to educate the public throughout the districts of his colleagues. And that's what gave people the knowledge and the courage to band together. And, you know, Illinois is not 90% federally controlled today, nor Missouri, nor Louisiana, nor Alabama. They succeeded because they mobilized their political power, and they went out and hired representatives with the knowledge and courage demanding that they take this action to secure property and liberty and prosperity. And that's the foundation of our system.
Ken Ivory with us from the American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. How unique or perhaps in line is Idaho when it comes to the lack of control of the lands?
Well, I think you fall number three in line. Nevada is 81% federally controlled. Utah is 67%. And I think Idaho, you're right up there at about 63% federally controlled. So you think about that. The states in the West have the hardest time funding education because we simply don't have the property tax. We don't get the income tax from the productivity of the land. We don't have the royalties and all the rest. And so we have the hardest time funding education. But also, Kevin, Idaho gets something on close to 40% of your state revenue. Single largest line item source of revenue to the state of Idaho is federally sourced funds that are already going away. And there's no backup plan. So when you think about that, in Idaho and in Utah and throughout the West, we're going to have the responsibility and the opportunity to educate our children no matter what continues to happen in Washington. We have the responsibility to take care of our sick people and poor people and roads and public safety and care for the lands no matter how much more indebted and immobilized Washington becomes. That responsibility still lies to those whose lives and livelihoods depend upon those lands.
We go to the phones. We go to Randy in Nampa for Ken Ivory at 580 KIDO. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I just had a question for Mr. Ivory. I believe that we should try and take our lands back. And as a matter of fact, my wife is helping run Chris Troupas' campaign, who's running for attorney general, who thinks that too. But my question is, our current attorney general, Lawrence Wasdin, has said, I heard him last week at a forum, he said that we can't take our lands back here in Idaho from the federal government because, like in the 40s or something, our legislators said we don't want the land back.
Yeah. That's
so what is your take on that?
Yeah, that's a half of a half-truth. In it was 1932, actually. So in the 1920s, you had Arizona and New Mexico that were made states, and so you had the lower 48 in, and they started to then plead to Congress, you've got to keep your promise and dispose of these lands now, just like you did with all the others. And they said, well, your land is arid. It's going to take a little longer. We know we have to dispose. It's going to take longer. And finally, into the mid-1920s, they became so insistent that President Hoover convened a commission. And by 1932, they had congressional hearings. Now, pay attention to this. The title of the congressional hearings was Granting Remaining Unreserved Public Lands to the States. Not if, only how. Now, as the hearings went forward, the agencies came forward and said they kind of substituted the bill, and their bill was, we're going to grant you all the land. We know that's a solemn promise. We have to do that. We're going to grant you the land, the surface land. We're just going to keep all the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's where all the wealth is. And so the states, in the middle of the Depression, they did descend on Washington, and they killed that bill. And they said, no, you've got to keep the whole promise with us. You can't give us half a promise. And then a year and a half later, they passed the Taylor Grazing Act, which is the precursor to the BLM. In the very first line of the Taylor Grazing Act, it says this, that it's established in order to promote the highest use of the public lands pending its final disposal. Now, let me direct you to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, AmericanLands with an S, Council.org, and under the Resources tab, you'll see a tab called White Papers. And in that tab, you'll see a very recent law review article, the BYU Law Review article, done by Professor Donald Cochin. And he lays out in detail the legal, the historical, the constitutional basis behind the promises are the same. They've got to honor, the federal government has to honor the same compact duty to dispose that it kept with all states east of Colorado.
Randy, thank you for the call. Mr. Ivory, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Ken Ivory. Your calls concerning who has the land, who owns the land, and who should get the land at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
We're here to make a statement. It's a free country. Remember that, government.
This is my right.
I spoke with Clive and Bundy, and he repeatedly called for peace.
They want total, unlimited power over the people of the United States.
Our freedoms are on the edge of being taken away from us.
I saw my cousin get tased three times. I saw him pull dogs and sick it on a pregnant woman.
Talking about
food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I will fight.
Kevin Miller on the morning here, 580-KIDO. Ken Ivory joining us from the Americans Lands Council. Mr. Ivory, let's get back to a few things. What was the result of this big meeting in Salt Lake? Any clarification, any ending to this, or is this just the beginning?
Well, of course, it's just the beginning. This is a big process. We're more than 100 years into this. It's going to take time to sort out and sort through and work through this. States are standing up, though, and you know, the good thing, your Speaker Bedke was wonderful in gearing and guiding the discussion as we went forward. He and our Speaker Becky Lockhart were the co-hosts of the event. And they were able to steer things at the end to forming an executive committee, an executive council, if you will, of a House and a Senate and a local government member from each of the states to begin coordinating meaningfully on the strategy going forward. And we know that the strategy going forward is going to center around four basic points. The first is education. And we can all do this, Kevin. All of us. You can get on the American Lands Council. There's quick facts and key points and videos and all sorts of things. And on Facebook, you share and tweet. And I mean, can you imagine Thomas Jefferson with a YouTube channel? You know, Thomas Paine with a Facebook and Benjamin Franklin with a Twitter account. Can you imagine Benjamin Franklin with a Twitter account? Would that be just incredible? We have opportunities to educate that leave us no excuse in terms of can we move this forward. So education is number one. We can all do that. Number two is negotiation, and that's where your counties and your states and your congressional delegations, we begin to pull these BLM and Forest Service people in and start confronting them with this issue of our statehood promises, our statehood terms are the same as all states east of Colorado. We need to deal with this issue, and we need to sort through this, and the promises are the same, and we need you to honor the same promise. And you start working through that on a negotiation standpoint. And then legislation. Now, Idaho's already started off with forming a task force, and they passed a resolution laying out some of the history and background. There's more action to be done at the state level. Kevin, you've got counties and cities and school districts all around the nation doing resolutions supporting the transfer of public lands. In fact, the Republican National Committee did a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. National Association of Counties, South Carolina did a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. So education, negotiation, legislation, and then if necessary, litigation. In the state of Utah, we appropriated $2 million to begin building the case. Now, this is something you don't do lightly. And building a case of this magnitude, this is a case of the century. We're going to be very detailed in the transition, the remedy. How do we transfer from fed to state? And so that's a process we're working on now. Now, the three things that people can do with that, again, educate. We can all educate. We can all get on the website and share and tweet and Facebook and email and carrier pigeon. Delegate. You know, delegate. We hire these representatives, and if we're not hiring the right people and instead defaulting to somebody with a nice voice and nice hair, well, shame on us. We get what we deserve. And so delegating, getting to these people, and do they have the knowledge and the courage to secure life, liberty, and property, which is the very foundation of our basis of our system. The final thing is donate. This group that we had, this summit, this wasn't done at state expense. This is something that the American Lands Council is kind of helping to facilitate. And so if people can get on, there's a donate tab. If they're able to do that, a dollar a month, a dollar, $5, $10, whatever they can do, that helps us continue to educate and get more tools and materials out.
Finally, here at 580KIDO, how do you see the Bundy situation playing out?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I don't think that the federal government is just going away and they're going to go away just easily or lightly. My guess is they're regrouping and figuring out what their next move is. So that's going to continue to fester. And until, Kevin, until it's dealt with, that problem's dealt with at a jurisdictional level, at a state level, where you start to restore the jurisdiction and the balance between the state and the federal government, whether it's Clive and Bundy's situation continuing to fester, or it's someone in Idaho County or someone in Benoit County or someone in Montana, those issues are continuing to percolate all throughout the West. And so this really cries out for the solution of jurisdictional actors, states acting under the Constitution to restore that balance. And, where the Supreme Court, 2 years ago, the Supreme Court said the independent power of the states serves as a check on the arbitrary power of the federal government, and states are separate and independent sovereigns. Sometimes they have to act like it.
You think in the next coming weeks it'll escalate there, or do you think it'll de-escalate?
Hard to say. I think from a PR standpoint, which is really what politics in Washington seems to be about anymore, I think they really kind of got their hat handed to them from a PR standpoint. But, you know, where you've got Harry Reid out calling people on the ground domestic terrorists, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. This is an untenable situation built on a very tenuous foundation. And whatever you build on a bad foundation, Kevin, you know, if you're building a house and you lay a bad foundation, you're going to have a bad house. Well, the bad foundation is the federal government didn't honor to Nevada and Idaho and Utah the very same statehood promises they kept with all states east. And on that bad foundation, whatever you build is going to be bad. And that's where we're at. And so we've got to go back as state jurisdictional actors and address that foundation, and simply compel the federal government to honor the same promise that statehood to transfer title to the public lands.
Well, Mr. Ivey, you're right. It just scares me when, you know, the BLM backs off and you don't know if they're going to come back, and then all of a sudden you have Senator Reid, who has a lot of sway in that state, really pumping up that situation, which doesn't need to be escalated.
Yeah, I mean, that was just absolutely inflammatory and unbecoming of a United States senator, I believe.
Mr. Ivory, we'd love to have you back. If you're ever in the state, please let us know.
I love Idaho. We've had great opportunities there, and my guess is we'll be back sometime throughout the summer. Happy to do so, and appreciate the time, Kevin. Just get people on the education front. We have the ability to move this if we're teaching and we help all of the people that we know have the knowledge and courage to take the action.
Thank you again, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it, Representative Ken Ivory on the lands. We'll discuss it next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Chance to win cash is coming. Keep listening to find out more on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We go to our friend Josh Callahan from the Medical Center, VA Medical Center in Boise. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Living the dream. What's going on, brother?
Well, we're just at the VA doing the good work here.
Well, what's the latest?
Well, latest is, we new veterans identification cards. That's what we're here to talk about it today. The VA is rolling out a new identification card to be a little bit safer than the ones we had in the past.
And what was the problem with the ones in the past?
Well, ones we had in the past had a barcode on them, and the smartphones nowadays are pretty smart. And there was several different applications that you could use on just a regular person's smartphone that could scan that barcode on our veteran's ID card and then pull up the information about that veteran, including their Social Security number and date of birth, and obviously has serious privacy implications there.
How goes it at the VA?
It goes really well, and where this new rollout of this ID card is going pretty well so far. There was a little bit of complication there at first, but I seemed to get the bugs rolled out, and we've already started issuing this new card out to our veterans. And going to be a little bit more protected. It will not have that Social Security number or date of birth in that magnetic strip on it. It's going to be using now a more kind of generic serial number that's issued to military members in the Department of Defense. And so we'll be using that number now as kind of the...
Josh, you're giving me the recipe. I just want the pain to go away. How's it going with the veterans and everything else? How are they doing? I mean, we always want to take care of the veterans.
They're doing good. We feel like we're doing a pretty good job. Veterans have been pretty happy. Got a lot of changes here at the hospital, new things coming up. So veterans seem like they're doing pretty good. I've been out there talking with my guys and hearing great things, and it's a good time to be a veteran right now.
What about the challenges, though? Certainly we hear so much in the news about post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSDs, people from Vietnam and the like. That's a lot of strain on the VA.
It is a lot of strain on the VA, but the VA, I feel, is equipped to handle it. That's what we're here for, and that's what kind of makes this health system a little bit more unique and special for this audience of patients. We have a very significant behavioral health team here that works with veterans that struggling with PTSD and other anxieties related to combat issues. There's a lot of, so we have therapies that we do here. We have counseling that we do. But we also try to do some other things, too. And something, for example, that we just did not that long ago was our disabled veteran snowmobile ride, where we try to get veterans out, get them out, meet with other veterans, get them, hooked up with something they've never done before, provide them an opportunity to, get out in the woods, meet some other veterans and enjoy themselves, kind of find a new, something they can look forward to, something they can invest their time into.
Josh, finally, what's the impact of rides like that and people – making sure that our heroes get out and, have a life?
It's a huge impact, not only for the veterans who go out there. For example, one of the things that I heard this year, and it really tickled me to hear this, was when the veteran came back from the snowmobile ride, he told me, said, all the time that I was out there, I never once thought about a roadside bomb. I never thought about what's going to be buried in the dirt. I just, the white snow, the trees, this new machine, just kind of take my mind off things. It was a very well-needed distraction. In addition to that, we did that up in the McCall area, and we're able to do this event based on donations and the support that we get from people in the community. So the snowmobile groups and, local people that are there that wanted to give back to veterans, it's very important that you provide an opportunity for, your average citizen to be able to give back to veterans. And so it's kind of a win-win in a situation like that.
And you're always looking for people to come by and hang out with the veterans?
Always looking for that sort of thing. We always need volunteers, for doing our business here around the hospital, people to take folks to, different areas of the hospital. Many of our patients have ambulatory issues, so they're in wheelchairs and whatnot. Escorts to push them around through the hospital, take them places, escorts to drive the vans if we have to go out to the parking lots, pick veterans up, bring them in the entrances. Always use help like that. And then, of course, we always have events. Like, again, this summer in July, we'll have our disabled veterans ATV ride. It'll be very much like the snowmobile ride. And so folks, stay tuned to our website and our Facebook page and look for opportunities to volunteer and donate to that. We could sure use the help.
And please let us know. We'd love to get you back on to promote that, sir.
That sounds great.
Josh, thanks for your service, and thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Our great friend Josh Callahan from the VA. Kevin Miller in the Morning, coming up, your phone calls at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Do you believe that the West can regain its land? We do want to thank Laura Perkins for joining us. If you missed that, you should go to our podcast section and listen to that, where she details her family's struggle against the BLM. And Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council. Big meeting tonight. Terry joining us from State College, PA. We had him in last week to talk about his organization. What's going on tonight, Terry?
Good morning, Kevin. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Caldwell Airport at the Uber Terminal will be the public introduction to Minuteman Emergency Response Community. Getting a good response. Thank you for having us on the radio last week. Multiple phone calls. People are intrigued with what we're doing. It certainly affords us an area of preparation which we haven't considered before, other than on an individual basis. Now people are looking at it on a much larger scale group basis, and they just love the fact it creates unity. It's just bringing people together of common mind and saying, hey, what can we do together? And it tickles my heart. It really does, to see people saying, hey, we're going to put our differences aside here. This isn't going to be political. This isn't going to be religious. This isn't going to be whatever. It's going to be about us as neighbors coming together, getting a lot of professional training. I mean, it's just amazing the professional training that has lined up and volunteered their services, from the medical field to the security field, communications. We've got one individual. She's recognized as one of the primary communications, directors for FEMA right here in Idaho, you know, in our group. An individual from Post Academy who wants to help the families understand firearm safety and firearm usage. And, you know, medical, and, of course, all of our good friends up at Minuteman RX, you know, who, again, to reiterate, they're not this group, but, you know, they're more than ready to train anybody. You know, they've got all the supplies that everybody needs. It's a matter of getting up there and saying, okay, where do I need to go? This is what I assume I would like to do, and they're going to set them up, and they're going to get them ready. Boy, Kevin, I could talk all day about this. I'm very excited. How about some questions? Make it easy for me.
All right, Terry, one more time, because, so tonight, if people want to go, where and when?
Will be the Caldwell Airport at the Uber Terminal. That is on Linden Street.
And that's at 7 o'clock?
Correct, 7 p.m. this evening.
All right, Terry, thank you.
You have a good day. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Terry, great information tonight at the Caldwell Airport, the Uber Terminal at 7 o'clock. It is wet. Let's find out how the roads are at 580 KIDO.
Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, we'll be at Capitol High School. Thanks to our friends at CapEd as we promote our school, securing our future. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. Do want to thank so many folks who joined us concerning, well, talking about the West, and really now it's up to you.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
Okay, thank you very much. That really is the discourse that we're up against. And I know in Idaho we get spoiled, and there is so much hate, so much rigor against America. And you take a look at what Ken Ivory's doing, take a look at what Tea Party Bob's doing, Steve Ackerman's doing, and all the folks that are out running in the primaries. They could sit back and enjoy the good life, but who amongst the elected politicians that you know of has made the lands the big issue? And in the age of President Obama, is it possible to get the lands back? I believe that we have to have a change in the administration. We have to have, I'll tell you who would have been perfect, and a lot of people are going to say, well, he wouldn't care about the middle class. And that would have been Mitt Romney. Why? Because his Western roots. He understands the uniqueness of the West, the individuality of the West, the ruggedness of the West. And not by just watching cowboy movies, but until you have somebody from the West in the administration over the BLM, like, I guess, Dick Cheney back in the day, they're going to continue to run roughshod. And that's not good. That's not good for any of us. You take a look at what Mr. Bundy's going through. The battle lines are hardening again and again and again. And this is what happens when the feds take over. What is it, Idaho number 3 with the feds taking over the lands? And remember, if we don't think that it's a big issue, remember, we're getting ready for fire season. And I don't understand it, how we can shortchange the military, as Dan Abrams bebops on Good Morning America, and then the federal government can tell us, because we don't have enough resources, we can only give you 5 fire planes instead of 10. That's an abdication of duty. That's incompetency. That's liability in the private sector. And then we have people just blatantly lying about Obamacare. The president saying it's time to quit being divisive. Sir, you tell that to the people that are suffering from cancer, AIDS, leukemia, that don't have health insurance because they believed your promise that those with pre-existing conditions would be covered. Talk about the people whose rates have tripled, sir. And all we ever get is people that demagogue the issue, like Melissa Harris-Perry.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
Melissa Harris-Perry then in her ignorance said horrible things about Mitt Romney's grandchild because he was a minority. That we have this sanctioned racism has to stop in America today.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
Let's quickly get to traffic at 580K. to Ronnie and Caldwell at 580KIDO.
Hey, dude, my buddy Brad just called me and said that something's going down with the Bunny Ranch in Nevada.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
I know. What's going on, dude? The government's taking over the ranch, huh?
Not the Bunny Ranch, the Bundy Ranch.
Dude, because I thought it meant the
There's a big difference there.
I know. I went there when I was 21, dude. I have some great memories there, and I just didn't want to see that thing go away.
Somebody. I want to slap somebody.
I mean, I don't want to slap nobody. But
thank you for sharing your immoral behavior.
I don't know if it was immoral.
Your immoral pre-stalking behavior, Ronnie.
Here you go again, man. Just because
there
I went
you
to the
go
bunny.
Again, proudly talking about your immorality and your illegality.
I still have a T-shirt from that place, dude. It's more of a tourism stop, man.
There you have it, Ronnie from Caldwell. We appreciate it, sir.
Good night.
Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Meridian.